Kuf Mem Gimel, Halacha Kuf Nun Zayin. Okay, page Kuf Mem Gimel, Halacha Kuf Nun Zayin. Hamechabed Yichubad. Okay, that's very, very, unfortunately, not everyone knows that. The ultimate kavod is to give hamechabed yichubad. The ultimate kavod is to give kavod to someone else. Kol hamechabed. Now he refers to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Kol hamechabed Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'es asher tziva Hakadosh Baruch Hu mechabdoi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will give him honor. There's nothing a person loves in this world more than kavod. I shouldn't say everyone, not everyone, but there are people who, like, I'll give you an example. What's more precious, money or kavod? What do people? What's more valuable? What's a greater asset, money or kavod? Kavod. How do you know? Because people buy kavod, right? After you acquire, you become very wealthy. You'd be surprised. You guess what? It's a sickness. For some people, it's a real sickness. Kavod it's not real what kavod can do. It's frightening. But the ultimate kavod is to give kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how do you give kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam? By doing what he wants. We daven every month on Rosh Chodesh. We daven Chaim Shel Oysher V'Chavod. I once went to Levaya and was a woman, a very, very, very chosh of a woman. And I don't remember who was being masked, and he said that this woman, she could not bring herself on Shabbos Mevarchim to say that word. Chaim, she said, I don't know about Oisha, I don't think he mentioned that, but he said she could not bring herself to say the word Chaim, and she resorted to a life of kavod. That people should give her what she interpreted simply to mean. In her understanding of the word, it means that she should be honored. People should give her kavod. How could a person be mispalel that I should have a life of kavod? Now, it's not really, l'chayra, she's 100% right, but what it means, it doesn't mean that. It means, I'll tell you one of two things. Number one, it means, kavod means I should have an opportunity to give kavod to other people. When you come, the Shabbos Mevarchim. So remember, when you mispalel the Shabbos, you mispalel Chaim Shel Oysher V'Chavod. Chavod means Hashem, mispalel Hashem, Hashem, give me an opportunity where I will be able to give true honor to another person. Now, sometimes it happens to me, by the way, that if you're not a Mechubad, then it doesn't mean anything. Ein doimer, if the Gadol Hadar stands up for someone versus me standing up for someone. Right? A person walks into the room, so I stand up for someone. Big deal. So a cockroach stands up for you. So it makes a roshim? Doesn't make a roshim. Big deal. But if the Gadol Hadar stands up for you, you walk into Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he stands up. Wow. So think about it. When you're being mispalel, this is very interesting. When you're being mispalel, that Chaim Shel Oysher V'Chavod, I should be able to be mechabed a person, do you realize that indirectly, maybe that's what this woman was thinking, indirectly, you're asking Hashem that you should be an Ish Mechubad. Because the only way you really, not always, but many situations for you to be able to give honor to someone else is you have to be a distinguished person. Okay? You need to be a mechubadik person to be able to give kavod to other people. It goes with the territory. Not always. There are techniques where you can be instrumental in being mechabe people even though you're just sitting behind a computer. Okay, you do. You're nothing of nothing. But there are situations where giving kavod doesn't necessarily mean.
Same because with the
busha, I'm a exactly, giving busha. All depends on who is being embarrassed and who is the one that is giving the embarrassment. And there's no set rule. There are multiple factors. There are multiple variables in every single situation. Every single situation has to be evaluated when it comes to busha. When a person is put to shame publicly, well, who is this person that was put to shame? And who was the one who put him to shame? And sometimes, if the person that put him to shame is a nobody, it can be worse than if he was put to shame by a very distinguished person. Sometimes it's just the opposite. There are many, many variables. But the basic point is when you are mispalel on Rosh Chodesh, to have a chayim shel oisher v'chavoy, the true perish is to have an opportunity to give kavod to another person, especially one who deserves that kavod. And likewise, when you misspell for oisher, or you want to be a millionaire, you want to be a Bill Gates. Is that what you really want? Is that really who says good? Who says it's good for you to be too wealthy? You'd be busy the whole day with who knows what. Is it really when it's you misspell chaim shel oisher? Is zehu osher oshir? You're being mispalel, ribayne shaloylam. Whatever I'm supposed to have, I should have. Don't take away from me what I need. Whatever I need. But let me be happy with whatever I have. That's really what you're being mispalel for. Yeah.
In Shimon Esrei, I have a lot of difficulty with these words we say in the Elokai Yisav, the Nashike Efer,
Lakotia.
How can a person really feel that way? What my soul should be like dust to everybody else. I should be nothing. Lakotia, it says to everybody. These words are very easy to say, but when it comes to real, you know,
you have to. No, it's not, I mean, it, you have.
That was Avraham Avinu, but I'm not.
Always, I think the first thing explain you. When you look at every single lo alti adam boz beinecha. No person should be despised in your eyes. Every single person has a purpose, has something that you do not have. That every person has a talent, has a unique, something very unique. So when you look at that person, you know, I'm a nothing for the connected that person. Oh, I think I'm such a successful person.
But you should feel yourself.
You look at every person, look at that. What is unique about that person, suddenly you realize that it's not, that you have no shaykhis to, you don't come near them in this ability, and that should humble you in front of that person. Look at a child. You know, even children, they have certain talents, certain koichos, I will never come to that. And therefore, in a chanami, I have respect.
That you should find something unique about every person.
Yes.
And therefore,
that humbles you.
To that uniqueness.
Yes, yes. That's one approach.
Very good, yeah.
Okay, there are other approaches. Okay, then there's the famous joke. Yeah, yeah.
I have two stories I want to share. Rabbi Pachter, Rosh Yeshiva, told a story on Sunday at the Bad Rebbe about Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach.
Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, yeah.
And he was going to a Siva gathering, a great gathering, place was mom. By accident, he took the wrong door. So he came in from the back. So they saw him in the back, and they gestured him to come in front. And they had to walk through his crowd and all that. Everybody's standing up. All right. So he gets there.
No.
So he says, you know, he comes home, he makes himself a tea, and he's talking about cover that. He's laughing. But then what happened was all of a sudden he gets a phone call from Moshe Feinstein, Shani. He was asking him a question about Aguna. Aguna and Ramosha, he had dialogue, he's giving his fars, and then he hangs up the phone and he said, that's cover.
Oh.
Because he called me.
If Moshe Feinstein, the whole world standing up for him is nothing. If Moshe Feinstein called me, that's called real cover.
But now I have another shot. And this happens often at a wedding. And I was at a wedding, and a boy, you know, Bacher, Rosh Hashiva, is there, and he's about to be in the Sabbath tradition, but in the audience of David Feinstein is sitting also. So without asking anybody, all of a sudden the Rosh Hashiva delegates to David to come up. Now David is looking like this. But he came up, and I looked at the Bacher. Now the Bacher doesn't know Rav David, but he knows he's Rosh Hashiva. So he wanted it probably in the Stam, I would assume, that the Rosh Hashiva should be in the celebration. Not Rav Dovid. There's no Rav Dovid. He's a Golo Dor in Chanan. And so I was wondering, what was the Rosh Hashiva doing? He was delegating COVID to a Golo. But at the other hand, I would have thought it would have been more probably, my wife and I were discussing it, for him to ask Rishus from Rav Dovid, Rishus, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Feinstein, oh, I want to proceed with the wedding for yourself. And Rav Dovid, I'm sure, would have given it away, no problem. In fact, he was himself. Was it appropriate for this Rosh Hashiva to do that, to give the cover to the Golo Dor at the perhaps disappointment of the Bacher?
Did he
his
ask that?
Own Rosh Hashiva is not being himself.
First of all, you don't know the whole story. That's number one. That's number one. You don't know, you can't comment on the story. You cannot comment on this because you don't know all the details. Okay, that's the first thing. Even though
what
you saw, his expression doesn't mean anything. The expression, what he looked like, you know, he's maybe he got nervous, he saw the collar. That's why. Right, Rav Dovid, Rav Yosha Ber, it's very common. So, first of all, the Ereshita thing is you do not know all the details. Do you know every detail? Okay, so therefore, there's really nothing to discuss because we do not know all of the details. You do not know if there was a conversation beforehand. Rav Dovid Feinstein came to the wedding, came to the chuppah. Obviously, there's something that we don't know. There's more to the story. And that's really all that needs to be said. And then, in addition, even though we're really finished with the story, this is not a new Shiloh. This is not a new Shiloh. This is a Shiloh which goes back already for generations, goes back for Doiris, and there's precedent what should be done in these type of situations. So again, two things. First of all, we don't know all the details. And number two, it's not like what you saw in front of you was him deciding on his own Hilchos Deos V'Chovos HaLevavos. This is a textbook question that is basically no different than what bracha do you make on an orange? Do you make on an orange a ho'etz or a ho'adama? You make a ho'etz. You're over here, you're in the Masader Kedushin, and in walks Rav Dovid Feinstein. This is a textbook question which has been dealt with for generations. So that's all we need to say. Okay, we don't know the details. There's a lot more that probably happened. I told you, there's no need for us to comment. This, we don't know the details. And number two, this is not a new Shiloh. This is an old Shiloh, and obviously whoever was the Messiah, the Kedushin, was dealing with two things that we are not aware of.
I have a different Shiloh. Oh. You're talking about if you call off a guy for bracha, you call him harab, a goyim, whatever. Who are you giving cover to? You giving cover to the chasm, or you giving cover to...
All right, this is another old thing. Well, there are a lot of jokes. Rav Rudabin was by a wedding, and they called up Mechubin Harav HaGoyin Ploini. Harav HaGoyin for the second Mech. Harav HaGoyin for this Mech. So Rav Rudman was sitting and watching who they're calling up Harav HaGoyin, and he said to the guy next to us, I thought we already passed through the Tekuf of the Goyinim. Rav Rudman, the Tekuf of the Goyinim, it's long over, 1,000 years ago. Who are the Goyinim? Rabbi Kaffet always likes to stay nasty. Al tikre Harav HaGoyin, El Harav HaGun. Don't repeat that anymore. That's not nice. Okay, and this is the best line. The best line is they called up a big Rosh Shiva. I told you this before. Mechubed, Mesid Kedushin, Harav HaGoyin, HaTzadik, HaChosid, HaKodosh, HaOdav, HaChochom, HaKoyhein, Rebbe, Ploini ben Ploini. So as the big Rosh Hashiva walks up to the microphone, he whispers to the one who called him up, says, excuse me, I'm not a Koyhein. I'm not a kohen.
The rest of it
is. I'm not a kohen. So the guy by the microphone, everyone could hear this in the audience. Right? He was, I'm not a kohen. I'm not a kohen. And the guy in the microphone says, and everything else you are. Good, yeah? Especially when everything is in the microphone. Okay, now there's another very important answer to know what covered means. It's not a joke, and this is a joke, but it's not a joke. It's a joke, but there's a lot of truth to it, and that is a person, Rav Hutner would say, a person can live homeless. I would say, Rachmana Litzlan, he doesn't have a home. Live in the street. Can you survive in the street? Yeah, for how long? Who knows? For a long time you can survive. But eventually the elements, the cold, the heat, will have an effect on you, and it will shorten your person's life. Person lives out in the street with no home, a homeless person, it's going to catch up with him one day. All right. Let's say you take away his clothing, his coat. He'll live a little shorter. Take away all of his clothing. He'll live less. You take away his food. Solid foods. How long can you live without solid foods? A little bit less. How long? No water. No solid foods, no water. You live, whatever, 2 weeks, whatever you live, or 1 week, whatever. How about live without oxygen? How long can a person live without oxygen? 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. How long can a person live without COVID?
No second.
Not even a second. Not even a second. Okay, kavod is the most valuable asset, commodity in this world. Now, it sounds like a joke, and it is a joke, but the truth is it's not a joke. Kavod doesn't just mean the world is bowing down to you and standing up when you walk into them. Kavod really means self-worth, self-esteem. Person does not have any self-esteem. He'll just sit the whole day and do nothing. It'll be a shmata. He won't take care of himself. He won't have any ambitions in life. He won't want to succeed. Kovoit means dignity. It doesn't just mean, oh, v'anachnu kodim, v'mishtach v'maydim, the whole world, everyone has to go and call me rabbi. Call me doctor. Rabbi, doctor. Don't forget that. Make sure you give me all the titles that I deserve. That's not what it means. Kavod means dignity. Chayim shel oisher v'chavod. Oisher means, I don't know, it's hard to find another translation for wealth. Asmech b'chelkoi. But kavod is not a hard thing to translate. Oisher v'chavod. Chavod means a dignified life. I should feel good about myself. Self-esteem. Otherwise, what? Selam alokim. Okay.
How do you fit that into a kind of a
kavod? So there it has to mean. There it has to mean. So obviously, in that context, you have no choice but to say it means excessive kavod. It means really, really to go overboard. Overboard, where you do strange things. You do strange things.
What's the context of what it is?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. Many times many words on a very simple level have many connotations. And they're subject to interpretation based upon the context. Obviously, there means an unhealthy type of kavod. If you're being mispalel a birchas rosh chodesh, chayim shel oisher v'chavod, in the context, it's not an unhealthy type. Were you asking to die? Is that what you're really asking to do? Akina atayva kavod moitzines adam in ha'olam. And now, birchas rosh chodesh, chayim shel oisher v'chavod. Oxymoron. If you want kavod, it's moitzin adam in ha'olam. And here you're asking for life. So what are you trying to do? Obviously, from the context, kavod over here does not mean a poisonous, a toxic kavod. It means a healthy kavod. And either one of the two things that I explained, either it means a zehu mechubad hamechabed. He should have in the month coming ahead, opportunities to give kavod to someone. And believe me, by giving kavod, you don't have to believe me, Chazal say a zehu mechubad hamechabed. The biggest dignity is giving kavod to someone else instead of chapping the kavod for yourself. Number two, kavod means dignity. Dignity, a life of self-esteem. A healthy self-esteem. And that is what's important.
Why would you say, lo bidei b'zayon? Every morning you say, lo bidei b'zayon. What does that mean, lo b'zayon? Not to be embarrassed.
B'zayon means to aveiros. The parasha says, v'lo lidei b'zayon doesn't mean where someone embarrasses you. That's not what you misspell for. I mean, maybe you can lose your mind. If you look in the Siddurim, they will tell you that the simple translation of Loli Dei Bi Zayon means not to do averos. Hashem should give us siyata deshmaya to not be put into situations where we will be nichshol in averos, or if chas v'sham we do come into a situation of a nisayon, v'loli dei bizayon, we should be oimed, we should overcome our evil inclination and be oimed in that nisayon and not do the aver. That's the simple understanding. You want to go say it means that a person, he's walking down the street and someone should go come and start screaming at him and say you're a bad person because of A, B, and C. All right, it means that also, but that's not the simple translation of love and labor. Okay, we have to go further. We have to go further.
Okay,
Rav Steinman, we have to go further. We have to go further. I just finished reading the biography of Rav Steinman. It's a very, very good, really, very, very fascinating biography. And there, Rav Steinman, covered was anathema. Mamish anathema. When he went to America, B'Seif Yamav, he went to America B'Seif Yamav two times. He traveled the world. He went in order to chazek people. And it's interesting, they have a story that when he went to America, so he discovered when he was like 85 years old, something like that, he started a new yeshiva. People thought he was crazy. You're 80 years old and you're starting a new yeshiva. He saw a lot of boys are not getting into the halakha. There was a need for a yeshiva. So he started when he was 80, something like 80, 82, 83, a new yeshiva. And I think by the time he died, there were 2,000 boys in the yeshiva. It's not normal. And he had an administrator who would schnorr money, collect money. When he went to America, he discovered that the administrator is coming with him. And he said to him, cancel your ticket, and if you can't get a refund, I'll pay you out of my own pocket a refund. I'm not going for money. I don't want anyone's going to see you with me, they're going to think that I'm coming to collect money. I'm coming that they should give money to my yeshiva because you're here along with me. This is not about money. I'm going to chizuk. The chizuk. I'm not going to collect money. And he forced his administrator to stay home. No one should chas v'shalom say, I'm going to collect money. When he went there, so before he left, his wife, Tamar, who I guess she died a long time ago, so I remember when this was, so she told the people that were going with him, please, I ask you, she said in real sincerity, please make sure when he goes, they should not give him COVID wherever he goes. He'll get sick. He will mamish get sick. If people will give him excessive COVID by doing crazy things, will come in, they'll start singing and doing all these picking up banners. He will mamish get sick. So I'm telling you, take care of him and make sure they don't give him COVID, or at least tone it down. The cover. That was her only instruction to the people that accompanied him on this trip. And when he came back, he told his friends, he told people, he says, they tried to feed me in America chazer. That's what he said. They tried in America to feed me chazer. What? Chazer in America? What are you talking about? They tried to give me kavod. They tried to give me called kavod chazer. Steinman, it said a word, a three-letter word.
Very bad words.
And he was very hurt. No, b'shum oifen. A kapara for the cover they gave me in America. A kapara, the people, he was a martyr. Rav Steinman was not a kanoi.
He's not covered at Torah.
There's a covered at. It's excessive. He felt it was excessive. He allowed covered at Torah, but not where it got out of hand. There's covered at Torah, and then what he felt was excessive. There are different madregot of covered. Here, Steinman was a moderate. He was not a kanoi. He was not against boys, certain types of boys serving in the army. He was a moderate. He was not a kanoi. And there were people in Eretz Yisrael that wanted to be kanoim, wanted to fight. And he was in their way because he was very passive, very toned down, and they didn't like him. They didn't like him. And they did some very, very nasty things. And they were mevaza him, berab him, in very disgusting ways. And he was very happy. He thrived. He thrived on the bizyonis. He mamish thrived on it, and he instructed his family, let them do it. It's okay. It's okay. I have no regrets what he did. He lived in a different world. Mamish, you read the stories about him, it's not to be believed. Like someone interviewed him, and someone was taking him in the car, and he realized like everything that comes out of his mouth is mamish kodesh kodoshim. So he said to him, when I take you in the car, is it okay if I leave the tape recorder on all the time? I want to record everything because everything that comes out of your mouth is what to learn from. So he said, of course. Of course. What, are you doing something new? Were you being mechadesh something? Were you telling me you're going to leave the tape recorder on so it's going to be recorded? Is it not already recorded? I have to be afraid that what I'm going to say is recorded? Everything I say is recorded in Shemayim. What are you being mechadesh? By asking me rishus to record. Go try that. Go try that somewhere else. Okay? I mean, totally. I know what the best thing is. The best thing in the whole book. This is the best thing about the whole book. Going off on a tangent, it's just too good. Is he said that people, you always hear stories of people, they find money in the street. They go and they find, or they go with chveis, they go and they, something happens, they find $100,000. They find $10,000, $50,000. Even a $20 bill. Oh, and they go make this Kiddush Hashem. They do these crazy, outrageous things to go try to find who lost the money. Blah, blah, blah. They go and they find the owner. They discover and they give the owner back the money. Or they can't find, they give the money to Tzedakah. So he says, Shtus. He says, according to Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, if you find money in the street and there's no simon on the money, and you did, there's nothing you can possibly do, you keep the money. You don't have to give the money to tzedakah. What you should be doing is look at the money that's in your pocket and see if it's really yours and if you didn't steal it from someone else. People got it all wrong. They're finding money in the streets and they're giving it to tzedakah. They're giving it away. They don't want to hold on. You know, it's too easy to have this money. They're giving it away to tzedakah. It's not true. You find the money in the street. It's a halach and shulchan aruch. There's no simin. If you have such good, noble values, you should check the money in your wallet and make sure that money is not stolen. Was not earned through unethical or outright forbidden ways. That's a tough pill to swallow, no? Okay, going back to the concept of real covet. Back to Kav Kuf Nun Zayin, HaMechabed Yechubad Kol Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yaseh Asher Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechabdo Lo Yitochen Shetosin Svarim Al Mito Sheyashant Olecha B'Mapas Shin Zayin. Okay, it's not proper for a person to sleep, to put svarim on the bed which he slept upon with bimabna. I don't know, bimapas shikhva zera. Okay, so bimapas means on a bed upon which a person has released shikhvas zera. Shin Zayin stands for shikhva zera, which is shikhva zera. Oh, Adam. So therefore, he's saying over here something that it's not derech eretz for you to put a sefer on a bed, which was the place where a person had marital relations, or worse, okay, whatever that means. Oh, what?
It's not like
what?
Like a
mapas means mapas is like a quilt, linen,
a bed cover.
Mapa means like a covering. A covering which was in the vicinity of Shechva Zera, marital relations. It's not the right thing to do. You don't go put a sefer on a bed. Now, halachically, is there anything wrong doing so? No. Show me in Shulchan Aruch where it says you can't do this. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find. It's just not right.
It's sensitivity.
Sensitivity. Okay, that's what we're lacking today. We're lacking sensitivity.
Right.
That is the problem of our generation. Everything is all the rules, but the bottom line is you do whatever you want. The sensitivity is lacking. B'mapas shichva zera, ay adam mefiach b'mita, or a person, he passes gas in bed. Therefore, being that a person in bed, he passes gas, and therefore there's an odor. There's an odor, or it's just whatever. Just not. It's not a pleasant. It's not a pleasant place. Therefore, you don't go put on that bed a sefer. V'chein lo yitochin shetisle bein ragelecha divrei Torah oil yacharecha. Now, this is something very, very interesting with this generation who doesn't know from altogether. And that is this is one of my pet peeves, and it's beferish over here in the Sefer Chasidim. You don't, first of all, he says, don't put something between your legs. You don't put something between your legs. By the way, this whole thing that by the Bnei Torah, by Chasidim, the very makbid, not to put your hands in your pocket. You don't put your hands in your pocket. In Chasidish Yeshivas, they're very makbid, they'll go and they'll frask a boy that puts their hand in their pocket, they train them. You don't do that. You keep your hands away from that area. That mokoyim is a sensitive mokoyim, and you don't put your hands there. Okay? Hamev and Yavin. Don't get accustomed. Don't get into the custom of having your hands that mokoyim. Even when you go to the Beis Akisei, you know, there's all these different shilas exactly. Go to the Beis Akisei, how a person conducts himself in the Beis Akisei, not to have to touch that mokoyim, to touch that mokoyim as less as possible. Okay, now, so therefore, don't put your hands in the pocket. There's a joke, it's not, I tell you, you're all adults. There's a joke, and a person who puts his hand in his pocket, there's a joke, so don't get carried away here, that if a person puts his hand in his pocket, he's posula edus. He's posula edus. Why? He's nogea bedover. You got it? Mayor got it.
No.
Mayor got it. Okay?
Also, you don't put your hands.
What next two words? Okay, so now with that introduction, he says over here, don't put davar kodesh bein raglecha divrei Torah. It's not proper. Oy, now oil yacharecha. Don't put it behind your back. Now today, when I was a bacher, I still am a bacher. When I was a little boy, tetzillin. When I was a little boy, we had a bar mitzvah boy. Oh, you get a tefillin zekel, you get the plastic, you get the velvet and plastic, and how do you hold your tefillin? I'm going back to my years of the Yankus. So you hold the tefillin when you finish davening. You hold your tefillin in front of you. You hold it right. You hold your tefillin, or you hold it by the top. So today it's a very good thing. I have one myself. Okay, shopping. Now they have a. Like a shopping bag. You put your tool in the bag, and there's a strap, and there are other extra packets where you can put all the different things that you want. You can put whatever, every sitter of a hulfulu, and it comes with a strap. And you watch the Yeshiva Bachram today, and they have their tefillin behind their back. Behind their back.
Like
a knapsack, behind their back. So to me, when I first saw this, I also have one of these, but I try not to do it. I don't almost never do it. I always try to hold it in my hands. I have the strap, but I never hold by the strap. But you see these new Yeshiva Bachrim, you know, little bar mitzvah boys with their white sneakers and their black hats. And they have they're running around, and they have their tefillin in this new knapsack behind their back. It's not proper. L'chor, it's not proper. It says, Oy la'achoy recha. You don't put your tefillin behind your back.
No, even if it's high enough.
A siddur. Also, what?
Even if it's high enough.
Even if it's high enough. It's pasuk.
It means lower below the belt.
That's what I said. Even if it's
okay,
not
fine.
People walking like this, like Hasidim, like
right.
What's that? You're not allowed to walk like that.
No, you're not.
Why not?
One is because he says here, Acharecha.
Only a Sefer, it says.
Yeah.
Only a Sefer.
Number two, it's a Gemara that says, Yodayal El Yoyna. It doesn't say Yodayal El Tachtayna.
I'm not so sure. Yeah. I'm not so sure about all this. It says, the Oisi, I, Hishlachta, Oisi, Hishlachta, Acharei, Gavecha, you've thrown me behind your back. So it's not proper to put your tefillin, to walk with your tefillin behind your back on a strap. It's not proper. I once got a real Musar shmooze about this. I used to do this all the time. I used to daven, hold the siddur, and then I get bored, I space out. I end up putting my hands like what you do behind my back with the siddur. And there was an older man, he was an older fellow, and he let me have it. And he says what you're doing is awesome and is disrespectful. You don't just casually walk home, pace back and forth with the siddur in your hand behind your back. He says, it's disrespectful. He says, right.
The fourth reason.
Yeah.
There was in Europe, in the old city, there was the galachim used to walk around with their hand in the pocket.
Take away my joke.
So you meant the rub, and the rub is walking like this. Yeah. Same as that.
No.
Says, it's not covered for a Jew to put his hand in such a lowly place. Why do you do that? He says, why do you do that? He says, I have my God, my hand near my God. He says, I have your God near my
Okay, so you don't do this. And you certainly do not put a sefer behind your back. And putting tefillin, I'm not saying it's wrong, it's doubly wrapped. You know, the tefillin is wrapped in the box, and in the velvet zekel, and then in the plastic, and then in this knapsack. Okay, I got it. It's not usser. There's nothing usser. And maybe it's not the end of the world either. Maybe it's not, but... Again, you take it. You judge yourself. It says here, "The oisi hishlachta acharei gavecha." You throw me behind your back. V'lo yitachin kish adam mishamesh mitasa v'adayin lachluchas zera. Okay, he's going over here into detail. Shayaskir shub dvar kedusha otvila itayra. During this time, it's not proper. Ela yishav shef b'mayim atzma yhetiv shleidat yidvak b'kachardol. Person should always be clean. Matzanu beis tahorais legimel amirais. We find over here two. Tehoirois legimel amirois. Now he explains what this means over here. It's a pasuk. Imrois Hashem amarois tehoirois. So here's a pasuk, and in this pasuk it says the word amira twice and the word tahar once. And then there's another pasuk that says utehoirim imre noyam. In this pasuk in Mishlei it says the word tahar once and the word imre twice. Once. So sachakol, what do we got over here? We got over the word Amira three times. Amarois, Imrois, Hashem, Amarois, Toharois. And it says the word Tohar twice. So, Beis Toharois, Legimel Amirois. You see that? Two psukim, and in the two psukim, the combination is the word Amira three times, and the word Tohar twice. Right. What's the purpose of this? Lamdcha. Shelo yeh adam b'makom atinayfes v'yichashiv divrei Torah or yispal or yidabel lechaveru shum dibor shum min hakadosh baruch hu v'chein kishayeh shalav shichva zera. The bottom line over here is he's teaching you that your words, your amira, should always be in a makom of tahara. It doesn't just mean that you should speak in a refined way. It means that your words should only be words, just amdibur, even talking nonsense, talking about the baseball game last night, okay, talking about anything you want to talk about. The koyach hadibur in it of itself is sacred. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, targum l'ruach mimalala. The koyach hadibur is what differentiates man over every other living creature. It represents your neshama. So to speak, even to speak divrei chulin, divrei choil, to even to talk nonsense is sacred. Forget about talking divrei kodesh. Okay, that's a given. Talk divrei Torah. You talk tefillah. You talk the holy matters. But even stam to talk. Even it's time to talk. Certainly when it comes to Dervish Shabbat Kedusha, the pasuk here talks about Amira and mentions Amira in connection, mentions Amira in connection with Tahara to teach you that when you speak a Yidaber Lechaveroi Shum Dibur Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now here he does say that in reference to holy matters, it should not be said in a place where there is a Dover Tomei. And the Dover Tomei here, the epitome of Dover Tomei is Shechva Zera. But by extension, obviously, it means things which are not completely Tomei. One big mistake people make all the time is that a mikvah is not a place to talk. Okay, everyone has all the jokes. So how do you know? You know, all the gossip in the mikvah. All the gossip you hear in the mikvah, people, the stock is very true, people, the shmuzi, they say all the, you're not supposed to talk, period, in the mikvah. Mikvah is the base of merchatz. So there's a merchatz, it's not a mokum tohar. People are not dressed, it's not a place to talk altogether. And amira should only be said in the mokum of kiddush, of tohar, Torah, as Paul says. And we're going to leave it with that, take a very short break, and we're going to learn today about tzitzis. Yeah.